Take your Bibles and go to Romans, the book of Romans tonight. Amen. Be in prayer for our preacher. Be making the drive back and be back with us. Praise the Lord. And looking forward to that. The book of Romans, I want to just mention a few things this morning. Take time. I mentioned it. If you were in Sunday school or work in junior church, you didn't get to hear it unless you were watching on video somehow. But we talked about, and somebody already kind of kicked it off. But one of the desires, we want to do some things for our preacher during Bible conference and honor him for his 50 years, him and his wife. And so one of the things we asked this morning in the service is for 50, we wanted to do 50 gift cards. Now, Brother Perkins suggested that we need to get a gym membership to follow that. And, they don't all have to be food. My wife reminded me, you know, there's some things even for Miss Carter, if there's a place you like to shop, or a place that you know that she likes to shop, it could be from there. We don't have to limit it to 50, but I think it would be a nice gesture one of the days of our Bible conference to be able to just give them something to honor them for their 50 years. And again, that'd be, every week. We could take care of every night of the, one night every week of the year for them to have a date night. Amen. And we can cover that. So it's good thing, and somebody came and started it off already. So if you can do that, if you can be a part of it, maybe your favorite restaurant, if you know a place that they like to go, and I'm sure, Preacher likes to eat at Sonny's, but I don't know that he needs 50 gift cards to Sonny's, all right? And so again, there's a lot of places that you may like, and it may be their new favorite place if you get them a place, get them a receipt from there. But I just want to mention the Fall Festival. This is something, and many of you have come along the way, maybe haven't been a part of the Fall Festival. This is something that the college really puts on. There are some fundraising that goes on for the college, but really this is something that the college does for our church and our community. It's something, a lot of times, everything that goes on, this is a working church, and you are working people. And it's something that our college, we want to work the booze, we want to work the things that are going on there to say thank you to our church people and their families so that they can enjoy themselves on a fall festival. So again, we want you to come out. We would love for you to participate in the chili cook-off. And then we would love for you to come out and buy all the chili from us. Amen. Everybody says every year that's a good way of doing it, isn't it? Get free chili and then sell the chili back to them. Amen. But it's good, though. Sometimes we'll get it, I get in the back, and after all the judging's done, I realize this one's a really spicy one, and this is kind of a little bland, and we mix the two of them together, amen? And then the chili that you get is really good. There's all kinds of different things. If you didn't get one of these in the bulletin, there are some more in the back, and it just is going to tell you about all the things. Something new we're doing this year that I want to invite you to sign up for is we're doing to kind of raise money for the banquet for the students. This is something I thought would be fun for our adult crowd that don't have kids. We're having a cornhole contest. If you don't know what that is, it's a less dangerous version of horseshoes, okay? And so, if you're not good at throwing and you throw metal at people on the other end, it's not a good thing. So this is, it's pretty much a bean bag, and I guess the idea is for it to be full of corn. And most of you know what it is. But again, it'll be a contest. You can come with a team, sign up, and there will be a cash prize. It's something we're starting this year to hopefully, and not only for people in the community, but for you to be a part of and to enjoy. So for it to be a hit, you got to sign up and be a part of it. There is an auction. Some of you have been a part of it, and some of the auction items are inside of this pamphlet that's in the back. We wanted you to be informed. All right, so Romans chapter number... Let's go to chapter number 7, Romans chapter number 7, and I appreciate the song. What a blessing. Amen. The music's been good tonight. Appreciate Brother Gall filling in. Brother Burt is headed out to do another one of the facts evaluations for us and for the facts group, and so he's gone again tonight. But again, it's good to have people that can fill in. Thank God for people that step up and take care of. Amen. And I want to be a gap filler in my own life. I want to do whatever needs to be done in God's work. But the song tonight kind of went right along. You know, it doesn't really matter. Once we get to the place in our life when we really understand, one of the things that the world tries to build into a person and makes them, the world thinks makes you successful is self-confidence, all right? And self-confidence is not a bad thing. I don't want to say that it isn't a bad thing, but again, sometimes self-confidence can lead us to something that took down. I think the devil had a lot of self-confidence, and it led him to a place of pride where he thought he could be lifted up, where he started looking at himself in the mirror thinking he pulled himself up by his own bootstraps instead of realizing there was a holy God that created all things. And for me, I realize this, as a Christian, what's important is not who I am, but whose I am. All right? When I find my value in who is in my maker and what value he found in me, then I can really have, and not necessarily a self-confidence, but have confidence in a God who saved me, who sent his son to die on Calvary and purchased me back into himself. I can find confidence in what I'm pursuing in my everyday life because I'm pursuing his will. And so tonight, the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, writing to the church at Rome, he's going to write about some things, but I want you to see this. You know, every one of us, if we're not careful, if we look at ourselves too long in the mirror and realize that the hair is leaving us, amen, that the hair that is there is turning different colors. And so I look at a lot of you young folks, if you don't think it's coming for you folks, it's coming for you. Amen? Amen. You may still have a lot of years before your glory days are over, but amen, the glory days will come to an end one day. And as we look at that, when the things that we might have taken confidence, we take confidence in our own strength. Sometimes, again, and I spoke to someone this week, sometimes we could take confidence in our own will or our own drive, but that'll only carry us so far, folks. If we don't get a hold of the fact that of whose we are and the power that we have access to in him, then we'll fail in this life. And again, I believe every one of us, if we could say it that way, there's a place where we will come short. And I've talked about it before on our bus routes and our Sunday school classes and so many things. There's a lot of times. Can I just say, we'll forget. Sometimes we'll fall short. But we have a God in heaven that can make up all of those things. It can take care of all little end things and take care of us. And so here, if I want to say this, the title for the tape room tonight would be Remember Whose Side You're On. If we're not gonna get down in depression, if we're not gonna get discouraged, if we're gonna stay on the winning side, if I could say it that way, if we're gonna stay there, then we can't focus on everything is in this person, or it's all on me. We gotta focus in. Paul even said this. Look at chapter 7, all right, Romans chapter number 7. Look at it with me. Paul is gonna make some statements here. Now he's trying, I know that he's doctoral thesis, the Romans, and he's talking about law and grace, man. He's getting into it, and I mean, there's a lot of depth here, but Paul, a statement that is born out of his own heart is inspired in Scripture for us, and we see that even the Apostle Paul, who seemed to have all the self-confidence that anybody could have, who didn't seem to ever falter or to ever fail, here makes a statement that when he looked at himself, if he was to give a picture of who he was, in verse 24 he says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body?" From the body of this death. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. He's contrasting in his own flesh, saying, listen, he'd say that in him, in his flesh, he says that in the same chapter, that in his flesh dwelleth no good thing. When we depend on this flesh, when we depend on this alone, it'll fail us. As we age, as I get older, it's more and more apparent that this thing is not going to go as hard as it can go. It's the Spirit of God that has the power. Pastor uses it. It's his life verse. But again, it's not by might or not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. If we are going to live and work and succeed in this Christian life, it will not be in the flesh. We'll constantly be coming back to this thing, and we'll get depressed because we failed, because we did try to do it in our own strength, in our own power. We are going to constantly be that way. I believe worry, fear, doubt, Can I say, let's put that in young married couples' lives, young people's lives, our own lives, maybe in teenagers' lives. We could list those things. Not that they're absent from an older folks, but worry, fear, doubt, I mean, despair, all these things. But again, how about if we take it to an older folk? Maybe somebody, when you've retired or you're near retirement or you're down here and there comes boredom, helplessness, feeling like uselessness, all these feelings that can come and emotions that can rise up inside of the believer, even the believer, if we allow those things. Brother Hart spoke about Wednesday night, talked about imaginations. You see, if we're not careful, that doesn't leave us when we get saved. That idea, and he was mentioning this, but I heard a preacher say a long time ago when I was a boy, that idea, he said, you know, imagination in Scripture is hardly ever used. It's not ever used in the King James Bible as a good thing. But the first thing that starts was the image. That imagine, all right? And so again, when God speaks about he wants us, we get a dream or a vision for the things of God. We don't imagine what we're going to do. A lot of times we'll use that terminology, but the Bible doesn't ever use that terminology because, again, we get thinking about things and imagining things or manipulating things for our will and our way or how we could work it out rather than seeing how God wants it done and how God, again, God is a good God that wants to do things in you and in this church and in my life and in your life and in your family and in my family, but he does not want to accomplish those things through the flesh. He wants to accomplish them through the Spirit. He does not want you to receive the victory and ever come to a place where you say, I did that. Or so that you can count all the things together and see that you did it. He wants to see that you did it through the power of the Spirit of God that lives in you. A lot of times we think of this thing, and I mentioned it this morning. I was raised in a home, and I really do believe that every man ought to take care of his family with his own two hands and work and take care of his family. I believe in a good work ethic. I believe we ought to strive to do good in this life. We talked about that this morning and to communicate the Scripture. But again, all the things that we do in this life, we should never get outside of the idea that it's all us. That we could have lived, you know, not just salvation, folks. Can I just say, my life is better off. Salvation, even on this side of heaven, if there was no heaven for me to go to, and I know it's been written down in a song, but I'm here to tell you, I'd put anybody in this world's life up against the joy and peace that a believer has on this side of heaven, outside of heaven. And I'd put them side by side, and that's a better life to live than it is to live with all the riches that you can. Listen, you're all somebody that's rich beyond what I could even imagine. They're always worried somebody's coming to take it. They're always worried about how they can, you know, crook the government and they can keep it. They're always worried about some way that they could do those things. Can I just say, as a believer, I believe here in the Scripture. Look at it with me if you would. Just go over just to the chapter. He says, oh, wretched man that I am. But he says in verse 25, we see the praise of the believer. He's making the contrast. But now he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve. Look at it. The law of God. He said with the mind. I mentioned this, and I just kind of want to go through this, and I don't have time. I'm not going to do a study of the mind. But almost every battle of the Christian life is fought and won before you ever step on the battlefield. It's decided that we put in place in our mind, we remember before we step on the battlefield some things about God. We remember whose we are. We remember why we're going out on the battlefield to start with. We remember some things and put them in check, and now we can take confidence or have courage, or even if I could just get to the back end of the message and just give you the, we realize that we're more than conquerors already before we ever step on the battlefield. It's too many times we get defeated and depressed and behind or feel because we get looking at the person in the mirror, and he ain't never going to be the one that wins the day. It's always going to be Christ. It's always going to be the Spirit of Christ living in that man in the mirror that's going to win the day. And here, look at it with me in chapter 8, and we know a lot of these verses, but I want to run some of them with you tonight. How about if we do this? I want to show you something else. What about this? You say, well, sometimes it's not all fleshly things. Look at chapter 9. He's going to deal with a lot of this in chapter 8, and we are tonight. But look at chapter 9 in the first couple of verses. Do you know sometimes we can let ourselves get defeated and depressed even in our burden, even in the work of God, thinking about what's going on when we can't, again, what was being sung earlier about patience. The fields are white unto harvest. Why isn't it working for me? Why aren't I getting it done? Why isn't it working? Why can't I see it today? Well, God's working in his own time. Look at verse 1 in chapter 9. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed for Christ. Accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Paul is saying, pastor referenced this not too long ago about, he said, man, if I could go to hell and all of Israel could go to heaven, I'd do it. I'd trade my life for my nation. I love my nation. I love my country. If I could die for them and die so that they could be saved, I'd do it. And I believe this, when God puts a burden on your heart for a country or a people group or a bus route or a Sunday school class, any group of people that God gives you a burden for, you'll sometimes get so, laden with the burden of the souls that you are responsible for. Sometimes you'll be pressed under the burden to even getting to the place where you get depressed if you don't see God working. If you don't feel like his hand is on you today, or you don't see that person that you want to see saved because you're trying to do it in the flesh rather than trying to reach that person in the spirit. He begins the chapter in chapter 8. Look back at the beginning of it with me a little bit here, and I want to just kind of go through some things. And he's still in the argument, if I could. We're going to skip through some of it for time's sake, but he's still in the argument between the law of the flesh and the spirit, and he's dealing with all those doctrinal things. But then he gets down a little bit, and he says, I've got to cut some things out just for time's sake. But then he says here in verse 13, if you'll look at verse 13 with me, I believe if we're going to remember whose side you're on, or if we're going to remember to stay on the top side, to stay on the winning side, then first of all, we've got to realize that we're a child of God. We've got to keep it ever before us that we're not our own, that we're bought with a price, and we've been adopted into the family of God. If I could just give you this, and we'll read the scripture, I have a great family. I have a great heritage. I love my father and my mother, and I thank God for the sacrifices that they have made for me in this life. But they're nothing compared to the sacrifices that God has made for me daily. God sent me those parents. God ordained the things that have come into my life so that he could bring me to the place of his will. And if I remember that as good as God was to give me these great parents that he gave me, he's my heavenly father. And he's adopted me into his family. And again, the argument of the chapter is the whole creature, the whole earth and the man is urging and realizes the truth that God saved. But look at verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. If we remember whose we are, that we have a heavenly Father, that we are a child of the King, it's not hard for us to realize that, hey, I've got an army of heaven behind me. I'm not by myself. I'm not carrying this burden on my own. I don't have to try to work it all out and carry it all in my own fleshly power. I have the power of heaven behind me in this, and God has chose me to be on the battlefield. Sometimes we think we're the only one on the battlefield, but we could go through missionary stories, we could go through the Bible, and we can show that so many times God will pull back the curtain and reveal some things to men on the ground, and they'll see an army of heaven standing with God's man or God's woman wherever they were in the battle. Listen, even today, I believe, if you don't believe it, listen, we were trying to count them up. There were 39 visitors on our bus routes today. All right, in the church house. All right, there was at least 10 or 11 visitors in the church house this morning. That means at least 50 visitors blessed our shores of this place this morning. And don't tell me that there weren't a few armies of heaven around the outside of those buses, watching them come in, making sure the cars kept their distance. Don't tell me that God didn't wake some people up. Don't tell me that God didn't get beside you and give you encouragement so that you could give encouragement today. We have a God who loves us. We're a part of His family, and we need to wake up every day remembering, hey, this family that I got on this side of heaven is awesome, but there's another family on the other side, not just the ones that have gone ahead, but even the ones that are heavenly. I've got a Father in heaven who loves me and will empower me to do His will on this side of heaven. Listen, if I was a part of that, I love my family. We're down here in Florida. I've said it all the time. We're from Maryland. Most of our family is up there. You know, the natural blood, heart, it beats inside of me, loves my people and loves my family, and I would love to be with them. But I have another family, and it's the family of God, and this is where my family is on this side of heaven. This is where God has placed me. This is where God has burdened my heart. This is where God wants us. Listen, there's so many others. You're from so many other places all around this world, but you know what I'm talking about. When you come to this place, this is the place God would have you serve. You know that this is your family. This is your heavenly family that God has adopted you into, and we've got a heavenly Father that loves us and wants to see God. He wants to work through His church. Listen, can I tell you tonight, don't ever forget whose you are. Don't ever forget you have a heavenly Father, that He's your Father in heaven. And that, listen, that's no big thing. When I was a boy, I remember dreading going up to my dad. My dad was heavy on the work ethic, bless God. And if I didn't go up and ask for $20, I asked for $20 worth of work, bless God, before I could go somewhere that I was going. And maybe you weren't like that. You could walk up and say, give me 20, Daddy. Amen, or whatever it was. I don't know how it was for you, but I know this. Either my dad would give me the work, or my dad would say, all right, you can owe it to me. You can do this, this, and this when you get back. But here you go. I had a good dad on this side of heaven. And if I had a good dad and he was that good to me, how much better is our heavenly Father? That he wouldn't, listen, even if we go follow this chapter, he did not withhold his only begotten son to give him readily for you and I. He slayed him before the foundation of the world, before I was ever born, before you ever born, before the Landmark Baptist Church was ever planted, that Savior came down, amen, and died for you and I. And he's so good to us. We not only need to remember the family that we are in, or realize that we're a child of God, but we could read through the scripture there and says this, look at the end of this point in verse 18, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. God is seeking glory through His church. I need to remember whose I am, but I also need to reckon that the sufferings and the trials, and even if it is bad on this side a little bit, I need to realize that the glory that God is trying to see done through my life and through your life is worthy. It's worthwhile. It's not a hard testing or trial of time to us on this side. We should say it's just he says, in this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. I don't know if when we talk about reckoning some things, reckoning is a factor of the mind. It's making some account. I'm trying to account for things. Listen, I'm going to weigh this out. I'm going to see where this thing lands. And when I reckon the things that happen on this side of heaven with the glory that God could get through my life, even through a little bit of suffering, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust Him in the trials. I'm going to trust Him in the hard times. We talk about all these things. Sometimes we even talk about sacrifices that we make. But listen, a true sacrifice is what Jesus did for us on Calvary, is what He paid for us. Not only realize you're a child of God, but remember to pursue the will of God in your life. I believe so many times when we get depressed or we get discouraged is when we, in our own mind, think up a better way and we get outside of God's way and God's will. You say, Brother Parsons, I don't. Well, listen, we know that it's God's will that all men be saved, but God has a personal will for your life. God has a personal place that He wants you, that you will feel like you are right in His niche. But still, even when you find the niche, you got to do it God's way. You can't shortcut it. You can't say, when again, and we could get back to patience, but we can't get outside of stride with His will and His way. We live in a day and age where everybody wants it like this. I mean, we want it yesterday. I texted them 2 seconds ago. Why haven't they texted me back? I just emailed them. Why isn't it done? We live in that day. People want us to respond, and they want us to get back. I'm the worst person about that, okay? You email me, check it 2 days later. I'm just here to tell you. You know, I don't always check it. Sometimes it comes in. Sometimes I read it. My wife said, do you know people send you emails for you to respond? I went, I thought they were just letting me know. I didn't grow up in that era, folks. I think when somebody, thanks for letting me know. Amen. That's kind of the way I'm thinking. Amen. And I appreciate some of you that when I email, you put on there, got it. I went, maybe I should start doing that. Amen. But I thank God that, again, as we pursue God's will for our life, as we get to a place where every one of us, listen, God, this body of the church, the pieces of the body, the fingers, the hands, the feet, all the workings of the ministry, every one of us have to click God's in God's will and in God's way. It's not something, and you say, well, how do I do that? Well, if you're working in the nursery, however the leader of the nursery set things forth, because God, the pastor delegated power to that person, you do it their way. I don't like strapping a diaper on. I like to put it on their head. It don't matter how you like putting it on. Put it on like they said. And that simplifies it a lot. But we could take that down to Sunday school. We could take it to the bus routes. We could take it to cleaning the church. Anything that happens through the local church, God the Father has set up a head in Jesus Christ, and a under-shepherd in the pastor, and that pastor delegates authority. And so however they want it done, that is the will of God for your life. That's exactly how God has brought it all the way down. But I think there's a better way. Stop thinking. Amen. Don't contemplate it. Remember whose family you're in. At my house, if my dad said chop wood this way, okay, you didn't chop it different than that. All right? This is normally the way it happened. Whack in the back of my head. He'd say, what are you doing, dummy? I told you. Look, watch me again. Whoops. And then I'd say, I don't understand why I got it. Watch, this does it so much better. And usually I'd break the handle on this. I'd do something, you know. It would always be when my dad was watching, you know. It never happened until he got there. And, you know, you always equate it. It's his fault, right? That's another thing, right? Amen. We're like that. We're prone like that, aren't we? We're all, you know what? Somebody else's fault. Boy, wouldn't it be great if we had a generation of people that would take the blame for things. Amen. Just take responsibility. That's another R, responsibility. Amen. But that's not in the message. That was free. Okay. Pastor usually does time out, but that was your time, not mine. All right. So here we go. All right. So look at it with me. We want to pursue the will of God. Look at verse 22. For we know that the whole creation. He's speaking about creation. He's speaking about how the law and grace are working. He said, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that which we have, what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Can I just say this? And again, when we pursue the will of God, there is a blessed hope that is coming back. All right, for the believer, there is a God in heaven who is going to send his son to step out on a cloud and with a great trumpet. And I mean, he's going to say, come up hither, according to the book of Revelation. And the believers, we get to take off and meet him in the air. And while I strive on this side of heaven to complete his will, I need to, again, even from the book, we can see I need to strive lawfully for the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to do it his way, and we need to do it in his will. Sometimes, boy, if we don't realize we're the children of God, or son and daughter of God, if we don't remember that we're pursuing his will, we'll start to get stressed, fear. We'll begin to, what's the purpose of this life? Why do I do it? When we strive lawfully, boy, it's not hard for us. When we're in this book, boy, to equate things. Why do I do that? Because God's book told me so. Isn't it such a help when we just, when we click off and strive lawfully in this life? It helps us from getting discouraged. It helps us from getting depressed. It helps us remember whose we are. Look at verse 29 through 32. It says that we can rest in confidence, all right? We can rest in confidence in the right person. So many times we put confidence in ourselves. Some will put confidence in a man of God over God himself, and they fall, and they get derailed in their Christian life. They get depressed because somebody else fell. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I'll say it and say it and say it. Men are men at best. I'm here to tell you, if you keep your eyes on a man and not on the Lord Jesus Christ, someday you're going to be disappointed, if not at all, if it didn't already happen yesterday. There's no man that's perfect outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's where we're supposed to keep our eyes on. In verse 29, if you would, look at it. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Can you see the power of God in the verse already? That this same God, not only talking about his power when we get to the back end of this, but that God had all knowledge to know that you were going to be born, when you were going to be born, where you were going to be born, and that the gospel would come to you. Now, don't mess this up about election, all right? God realizes he chose every man to be saved. Amen and amen. Don't get mixed up on that. But what he did is, he is God and knows who's going to choose him back. We're in an election cycle. I said it in Sunday school. That means that God knew before the election was over, all right, who was going to cast their vote for Jesus and who was going to cast it against God or to reject him. That's election, folks, all right? That's foreknowledge of God. That's predestination. Don't get mixed up with all the Calvinists out there. It don't matter how many points you can count. Amen? And for those of you that know what I'm talking about, don't get mixed up with it. Understand that election of God, and I think over and over again in the scripture, when you want to understand that, understand foreknowledge, or he foreknew. He also, in verse 29, did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Let me say this, and I'll continue. If I'm going to have confidence, I can realize as God is working on me that he's not done. Remember that song, "He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be." It took him just a week to make the... Thanks for singing, Jake. Amen. Y'all should have jumped in before Jacob did. All right, here we go. So listen, I'm here to tell you God is so good that I realize when I keep in close to him, when I'm searching for his will, and I realize who he is, that he's already saved me, but he left a spirit inside of me to continue to work on me to make me what I ought to be. That he's constantly working and working, and when he's working in me, I can know that how powerful my God is. I don't get depressed when I realize that God's still working on me. He's still investing with me. We get away from this book, we get away from church, we get away from God's house, we get away from God's people, we don't hear things about it. We hear the depressing things of this world. If we spend too much time on our phones and all the social media, too much time focusing on the election and not on God, hey, what happens is we get drawn away, and all of a sudden we can get down. We can get the poochy lip disease. We can get so far down that we don't think, not that we don't think that, I know I'm on my way to heaven. I believe I'm preaching to the choir when I say that. But beyond that, we can get down. We can start thinking it ain't worth it. We can start thinking, you know, I've searched and I've served and I've served and I've served, but what good has it done? Hey, it don't take too long. If he didn't work in anyone else's life, can I just say this? When he's worked in me, I could start naming them off. When I'm in good health with the Lord Jesus Christ and I've kept my memory and realized what God's done, I could start naming people that God has used me to reach or to teach what I already know. But listen, the most important person that he's still working on, that I know every day he's still chipping away at, is me. And as a believer, if you want to stay encouraged, it don't matter how old you are, you ain't perfect yet. He's still got some rough edges he'd like to knock off of you. He'd like for you to stay in his book and in his service so that he can keep working on refining that purchased possession. He goes on to say in this same chapter, look at it with me in verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I don't know about you, but that's a pretty powerful verse. I mean, if I was down and poochy-lipped, I'd be wanting to read that one. I don't know about you, if you write things in your Bible or if you put sticky notes up for yourself, it's a good thing to put some things around you. God is for me. Because sometimes it feels like everything's going the wrong way. Sometimes it feels like nobody's for me when people are giving you constructive criticism.
Amen.
Amen. Or prayer request for you. However you want to say sometimes we can get down in that. But it's good to walk into a place, maybe in your own place where you built your altar, or your own place where you need to be reminded daily that God is for you, that you're a child of God. Boy, this is a list of things, boy, we could just put on the mirror every morning, wake up, I'm a child of God. God has a will for my life. Listen, woo, God is for me. God is for me. He goes on. He goes all through this. He gets into the power of God. We didn't even go to verse 28. I mean, everybody reads that. I think God loves us. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are who are called according to his purpose. Talking about will of God. God loves me. I think that could go without saying, but boy, we need to hear that every once in a while. God loves me, even though I'm a sinner, even though I don't deserve it, even though he sent his son to save every sinner, God still loves me. He loves you tonight. Listen, he goes on to say in verse 33, he goes and says, for who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Is it God that justifieth? Who is he that condemneth? Is it Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again? Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us? Look at this, folks. This, you want to talk about the power of God in your life. God is for you. Now, he's going to say, now, this is where, if we were going to get depressed, we would have to come up with some formula that somebody could separate us from the love of an almighty God. Who could take me away? Who could change God's mind? If I could go to the book of Job, and even when Job still, he was a good man, a perfect man, according to the scripture, not perfect in the way Jesus was, but we understand he was somebody who believed and loved God. That same Job, he says, have you looked at my servant Job? And boy, he went through trials and testings, lost his family, and stayed faithful to the Lord, but still, he got poochy lipped before it was over with. Hey, he sat down with some friends, and I mean, had a pity party before the end of that book. But if we could just remember, even in the middle of the trial, even in the middle of that thing, you know what God would have loved to have from Job? And this is why we know the Bible's perfect, folks. They didn't write in all the things that Job should have said. It recorded what he said. It recorded the conversation. And then a God that came in and said, whoa, 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 buddy. You gonna lecture me? That's how God stepped up. But listen, I'm here to tell you, we have a God, and Paul pens this down. Who shall separate us from the love of God? The love of Christ, according to the scripture, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Hey, mark her down for this next election, folks. And again, I don't want to lose this election. I don't want to see us good. I don't want to see a single hair drop from my president's head. I don't want to see anything happen to him. I don't want to see us have to go through any of those things. But I'm here to tell you, not one thing that will happen in this election could separate me from the love of Christ. Not one thing is going to change my standing in heaven. Not one thing is going to change the will of God for my life. According to this book, doesn't matter what happens in the election. I'm going to keep on keeping on because I've got confidence, not in me, but in him.
Amen.
He had it. Listen, can I tell you this? In his foreknowledge, he knew who was going to win this one too.
Amen.
Amen. And who's going to separate me from the love of God? Not the liberals. It ain't in here, but I'd say they're tribulation, distress, persecution, or famine, nakedness, peril, sword, as it is written. Look at what Paul says here. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Now he's going to say this. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. The confidence that I can have in Christ is so much more than anything that could depress me, could deter me, could break me, any of these things. But again, what happens? We get mindful. What happens to the mind? We mind earthly things. We begin to mind worldly things. We begin to think what the world says is gain is gain. And we get outside of this book and what God says is important. We forget whose we are. We forget that he's got it all under control, that he's promised to take care of us, that he loves the Christian, and that not even, can I just say this? You say, well, I don't know what I'm going to eat. Famine. I don't know what I'm going to wear. Nakedness. What if a big hurricane? Peril. What if a war breaks out? The sword. He goes through all the things that this human life that we could worry about, that we could sweat about. God can take care of those things. And he goes on. He says, now, what can't I handle? What can't you handle? I could handle tribulation, even in the flesh. If I wanted to build up in a mass trip for tribulation, I could handle it. Distress, I could handle it. Persecution, I could handle it. Even in the flesh, people have famine. They prepared nakedness, peril, sore. We could even build up and take care of those things. But you know what you can't take care of? You know what you can't defend against without a holy God and on the spiritual realm? Look down at the verse in verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angel, nor principality, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So many times we are so worried about the physical world that all these things and the fears and the things that could pull us away from a holy God or even derail this life, but God's got that covered and so much more. I don't have to worry about angels coming in the building tonight because God's got it under control. I don't have to worry about the devil showing up tonight and attacking because I'm saved. I'm more than conquerors. Jesus already licked him at the cross. Can I just tell you, he's still a foe. We're still in the battle, but I don't have to worry about all these things because they cannot separate me from the love of God. They cannot separate you from the love of God. What confidence can we have? How can we have confidence as already being conquerors? Because of the Word of God, because of the Son of God, who fought my battle for me. There was a day a long time ago, folks, before I was ever born. We like to think of it as Christmas time. Amen? That's what we call it, but I think it was more around this time of the year. That God sent his only begotten Son. Now, he already knew what he was going to do. I believe before he ever bent down and made man, before he ever took that dirt out of the ground and formed Adam, I believe tears are what wet that dirt and that clay to make it a man. As the Son of God with his own two hands formed a man out of the dust of the ground, knowing that that man that he was making was going to sin. If he knew who was going to get saved, he knew who was going to sin, folks. And he made that man anyway, knowing that it was going to take his own life to purchase that man back into himself. And those men and that man and everyone that'll come to Christ. And he kept on making him anyway. And you know, today I come into the building talking with one of the college students. And as we walked in, I talked about how he's making intercession. We were talking about that little bit of time where he talked to Peter and says, I prayed for you because the Satan desires to sift you as wheat. He prayed for you and I in the garden before he went to the cross. He just started the intercession ministry just a little early. And then he died, taught his church what he wanted them to know for 40 days, and he ascended into heaven to take us place on the right hand of the Father. And even tonight, folks, nothing can separate us from the love of God. We got a Father in heaven who's listening to his Son, saying, you see that? Let's take care of that. You hear what he asked of us? Boy, that's in your will, Father. Let's take care of that. That's one of our children. That's one of your children. Folks, I don't know about you, but I believe this. This age that we've come to, yes, I believe we're closer to the return of Christ than we've ever been before. I believe that our country and the nation and people are more divided than they've ever been. But we have even more reason, as we can see the day approaching, to not fear that God has all things together in His will. That He knows exactly what's going on planet Earth, and He knows exactly who you are and the mission that He has put you on. He knows the church that He's placed you in, and He, listen, more than anything, all we're waiting for as God's people is for the last soul to be saved before we hear the trumpet and Jesus returns. This place, we've been getting visitors, trying to see people saved. More than anything, why would we want to get discouraged, to get depressed, or I could say it like this, derailed from the Great Commission, the ministry that God set a church out for? We gather together to propagate the gospel so that we can one day see the return of Christ. He's got the day set. In His foreknowledge, He knows who it's going to be. I pray every day it'll be right here in Haines City, right through this church. Nothing more. Amen? You say, Brother Parsons, oh, I don't know if it's going to be that. I don't know if it's going to be that too, but, you know, you ask. If you don't ask, you're not going to receive. I'd like for it to be a kid that came on my bus. Amen? You can ask for what you want, but I'm asking for some things. Maybe you want them to be out of the nursery. Maybe you want them to be out of your Sunday school class. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not selfish. That's saying, God, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Use me to see the day approaching and to keep going for you. More than anything else, I don't want to get so far away from God in this life that I just quit. I don't want to get so tuned out of the Spirit of God that I let the worldly mindset overtake me and I go, what's the use? I look around the room and I see a lot of folks that have labored for years and years and years in this place. Don't give up hope. He's still on the way. I look at a lot of young people that went through Bible college and are now serving in this ministry. Don't give up hope. He's still on the way. I've seen a bunch of people that brought visitors on the bus route today. And don't matter whether the red bus won or the red group won or the blue group. It don't matter. We all won. We're on the winning side, folks. People got saved today. Visitors showed up. You say, well, Brother Parsons, it ain't all about that. Every day's about that. My life is about that. My family's about that. Our church is about that. Everything is bound up in the love of God. And Jesus didn't leave heaven for any pleasures on this earth. He left heaven to redeem man unto Himself. Listen, if you're here today and God spoke to your heart, I want you to be encouraged. But if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, we've been preaching to the Christian. If you're here and you're lost and you don't know if you died today, you'd go to heaven. Boy, get that straight. You don't even know what it is to have the love of God in your life. You don't know what it's like to have God bless your life and to love you and to know that you have a Father in heaven because you've never accepted Jesus, His Son's payment of Calvary, as your own. You don't know, you don't have a personal relationship with Him. Then don't leave this place. The reason we meet together is so that we can share the gospel. The reason that we're bound together as a family is because of what Jesus did for all these people in the room. And if you're here without Christ, don't leave without Him today. You say, Brother Parsons, do you believe there could be people lost in the room? Boy, I believe that if there's preaching, if this book is open, I believe people can get saved. Tonight, with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet? Our musicians are going to come. If you're here and you've been getting, folks, do what God asks you to do tonight. I'm going to pray and ask the Lord to meet with us. Just to do a work in the invitation. But if you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, would you step out and get saved tonight? Meet me right down here and take my hand. Say, Brother Parsons, I need to be saved. Maybe you're here and something has gotten you just derailed a little bit, and you need to come and talk to God about it, come and talk to Him. Don't worry about what somebody else thinks about it. Some of them are worrying about what you're thinking about. Come and do business with God tonight. If you're here and you don't know, every head bowed, every eye closed, you're here and you say, Brother Parsons, I want to pray for you if you're not saved. You'd say, Brother Parsons, I'm not sure I'm saved, but I'd like to know that. Would you slip your hand up so I could pray for you? Is there one anywhere not sure that you're saved, not sure you're on your way to heaven? I don't see any hands. I'm going to pray. Dear Jesus, I thank you for your many blessings. God, I thank you for God's people. I thank you for just the number of people, God, that are in this place that love you. God, I pray that you would help them. If they need to do business with you tonight, I pray that they do business with you, God. If there are anyone that's here in the building that's lost, that they'd come and be saved. God, I pray, Holy Spirit, you do the work that I can't do. Draw people to yourself, even now. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
All to Jesus I surrender.
Say that today, that you surrendered all. Tonight, with heads bowed and eyes closed, so many of us in the building today that know that we're on our way to heaven, been here over and over and over again in this place. Well, the message tonight was so that we could have victory. We could live on the winning side and stay and realize that we're more than conquerors in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this book will tell us all those things, but tonight, more than anything, I want God's people to remember that it's real. More than anything, I want God's people. I mean, we've had a great campaign and we've been after souls, but tonight, I just this week, somebody came to me and just kind of a little down in the dumps, a little depressed. Listen, God's people, we get that way just like everything. When we forget whose we are, we can get that way. I hope you came down, did what God asked you to do. We're going to have one more song of invitation. If there's somebody in the building, you don't know that you're saved, you're not, you don't know whose you are, you've never come to Christ through salvation, we're going to give another opportunity for you to come down, take my hand, and say, I need to be saved. I need the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Brother Gall will sing.
All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior, holy thine. May thy Holy Spirit fill me. May I know thy power divine. I surrender all. I surrender all.
Had a great day today, amen. Somebody's still being dealt with down here, and we'll give them time, all the time they need. want to just encourage you this week. I thank everyone who's done so much to make sure they invested to make this campaign a success for us, and all that's happened. Well, I just hope and pray that you were encouraged through it. And we're getting ready to head into missions conference. I think they're going to fill in a card. Come right here, Brother Sawyer.